Welcome back to The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 579, there's a new term in our day-to-day lexicon, which is fake news. And now they want something done about fake news. And I'm going to ask the question in this podcast whether or not this amounts to more internet censorship in podcast 579. Now, when it's cold and when there are, we have sort of the tufting, the kind of blowing sugar, kind of powdered sugar snow right now, which is very nice. But as you know, the snow is going to get very deep and the roads are going to get very slick. And when that happens, you want an SUV. You want something that is going to be safe and big. And you want one that is affordable. And the place to go to get it, of course, is xgovernmentcars.com, Minnesota's only dealer that specializes in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. And right now, the annual SUV sale is on, and it's on now till the end of the year at xgovernmentcars.com. $500 off on all four-wheel drive SUVs, and they've got them there, the Expeditions and the Yukons, and of course also the Dodge Chargers and the Ford Police SUVs and the Ford Police sedans. If you need a car, if you need a loan, if you need a work truck, if you have a job, you can get approved. And of course, X Government Cars takes trades. They pay the highest values every day without all the bull. I've seen them do it, and they have the 3-day love it guarantee exclusively at xgovernmentcars.com. Get your butt down to X Government Cars. They're open in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North, or you can call them at 763-777-8782. If you go to xgovernmentcars.com, you can see the full selection of those SUVs. And remember, the annual SUV sale, it's on now till the end of the year. $500 off on all four-wheel drive SUVs. And if you include a trade, well, then you're talking some bucks, right? So check them out.
xgovernmentcars.com.
So I got the fire going. Just imagine we're here in the back of the general store with the pickaxes and the yarn and the old nuts and bolts that nobody buys anymore. By the pot-bellied stove, which is glowing red in the dusky light. Just you and me and a bunch of other guys sitting around the stove talking about stuff. Except this stuff that we're going to talk about, you know, I'm struggling with this because this is a complex topic. This question of internet censorship and fake news and doing something about fake news. And I don't know how I want to present it, and I'm frustrated, but I'm going to try to relax by the pot-bellied stove and kind of just take my shoes off and, you know, talk about this whole question of fake news and what we should do about it, if we should do anything about it. Now, let me just, before I start this, say that sometimes podcasts are difficult to do. Sometimes they just roll right off your tongue, and sometimes they're difficult. I don't really have a desire to sit here and talk for 54 minutes about this and drone on and on about it, because I don't know why, when I put these outlines together before a podcast, I'm so ambitious that I want to include every single thought that comes into my mind about something. And usually most of them, well, I won't say most of them, but a lot of them just aren't necessary. And I'm always struggling between wanting to just talk, which I hate myself when I just talk. To be quite honest, I hate rambling on and on about stuff. So I try to organize my thoughts because I have too many thoughts. And then I get frustrated because I've organized my thoughts and it turns into, war and peace. And I don't really want to do that. So I'm just going to struggle through this and we'll see what happens. But I hope that the fire and everything, helps to kind of relax you while you're hearing this. So the latest thing is, best way for me to start this is just to tell you that the latest thing is that fake news elected Donald Trump president, which I'll get to in the podcast in terms of whether or not it makes sense or not. And that because of that, we have to do something about fake news. And in order to discuss this, first, as you have to define fake news, and then we have to talk about censorship, because that's what doing something about fake news essentially amounts to, in my opinion. So it's necessary to draw a line between what you and I think is fake news and what fake news actually is. So what's fake news? This is my personal definition of fake news. I use the term fake news in one of my podcasts. Next thing I know, it's being used all over the place. I don't think I started it. But the idea of fake news means something completely different out there than what I meant. I mean, fake news is false narratives. What is a false narrative? It's basically a storyline seeded by a politician or PR people in some kind of interview or by a campaign spokesperson or by somebody. And then that gets picked up and is picked up and repeated by talking heads or other commentators or other writers. And then they go out, and because all journalists do now is find quotes to back up a story so that their stories are full of quotes, you know, quote unquote, many voices, as they describe it. These storylines get seeded, and then people report on it with other quotes, and then people report on the quotes, and then you get commentary on the quotes, you know. And a good example of that is just simply saying why Donald Trump won the election. The first little story that was seeded was that women put him in office, and how could this be that women should have voted for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman, and right, women vote as a block. So if somebody runs as a woman, then they should be voted for. Well, that was kind of debunked. And then, you know, the main thing that nobody seemed to get is that your vote is confidential. Your name is not on the ballot. So nobody knows whether you're a woman or a man or what your deal is when you vote. So what happens is, after an election, I don't know how many times I have to say this, but after an election, political scientists, that is social scientists who study politics, right? They go through and they look at votes and they look at registration data and they compare the registration data to the voting data and they look at successive elections going back, I don't know how many years, to try to determine, quote unquote, what happened. And then they interview people, you know, in the political campaigns and test theories, and it goes back and forth. That's how we determine why somebody won. And you and I sitting out here, or you and I on Facebook, or you and I in social media, you know, we can throw theories out about why we thought somebody won, but nobody knows why somebody won. Another one, and so it's a storyline to say Donald Trump won because women voted for him and they didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, and they should have, right? Another one is someone saying, well, the polls showed this based on what somebody said the polls show versus what the polls actually showed. Without going into too much detail, that's why I did all the state-by-state polls, because the state-by-state podcast, because I knew this was going to be an issue. And what happened was the media, because they kept looking at the popular vote total, in other words, the popular polling, the popular preference poll, which showed Hillary Clinton would win, and she did win the popular vote, but we don't have a popular vote election in the United States, and they all predicted that she would win because they thought that, because that's what they wanted to hear, and that's what the quote-unquote polls showed. Well, that was false, and a false narrative, in my view. The actual factual narrative would have been, here's what the popular vote shows. Boom. Here's what the state-by-state polls show. So we're not going to make a call on who's going to win. But they felt that they needed to do that. And so nobody was more surprised on election night but the media when they discovered once again that this is an electoral system in this country, which I'll talk about shortly, and not a popular vote presidency. And these storylines can be powerful. Sometimes they're true. You know, if, for example, the storyline based on the popular vote, that the popular preference poll shows that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency. But the details, the fact that it's an electoral system, apparently escaped these highly educated, you know, commentators and anchors that felt the need to tell you that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. The other definition of fake news is literally false stories presented as fact in various sources online, whether it's YouTube videos. I watch a lot of these on YouTube, and I watch them because they're fun. I don't believe any of them. But then you have Facebook memes and posts that people are literally false. They are false news stories. And then they are seeded on other kinds of news websites, usually terribly written, researched, and edited. But when you get a news source like Huffington or Breitbart that feels like that fake news story says what they want it to say, they put it up and people read it, right? And so people are saying this stuff is really dangerous and we need to control it. Now, the latest storyline, which is false narrative in my opinion, is fake news caused Donald Trump to win the election. And again, I'm going to have to repeat this. We only have opinion polls prior to the election. We only have voting data. We only have data from voter registrars. And we only have data maybe on exit polls, which are notoriously unreliable. None of that tells you why somebody won an election. And the only way to find out if fake news influenced a vote would have been to ask specifically about fake news stories to determine whether or not it had any effect on the votes in question. So if he won by 10,000 votes in Ohio, you would have to look at those 10,000 votes. And it's impossible to do that. So saying that fake news caused Trump's victory is you know, highly suspect, first of all. But the way that they say it is also part of the false narrative. So they'll say, because fake news caused, quote, someone like Trump, unquote. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that Trump is a racist and a xenophobe and a fascist and so forth. And that's just as bad. It's name calling and everything that's been brought out. Someone like Trump could win this election because he somehow generated all this fake news. Therefore, we have to do something to solve this problem. A law needs to be passed. And, you know, tongue-in-cheek suggested that there ought to be a law about fake news, and suddenly now they're saying we need to have a law. I'm not going to go through all the Electoral College stuff that I had written down here, because if you don't know, look up the Electoral College. We do not have a direct system for electing the president in the United States, and we don't have one because the Electoral College is partially a compromise between parliamentary democracy, such as in the United Provinces and in England, and before the Revolution, and because the people that framed the Republic, in other words, the Constitutional Republic, not the Articles of Confederation, wanted to make sure that the states were given a check on things like the presidency. All right? And so we created something called the Electoral College. So the Electoral College, for lots of other reasons, one, you know, travel was very hard back in the day. You couldn't tell how states' votes took a long time to count, blah, 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 blah. So we had the Electoral College, which would ensure that a president was elected. And there's a bunch of other reasons. If you want to look them up, good for you. But constitutionally, what it also means is that the states, the individual states of the United States, run the elections. And we have 50 individual state elections when it comes to the Electoral College. We have 51 if you count the District of Columbia, which recently was given 3 electors. The United States is a republic. It is not a democracy. It is made up of 50 states, 50 state governments, and a federal government, which shares power with the states. It is a representative republic. And since the states figure prominently in the Constitution of the United States, with several powers granted to the states versus the federal government, the states figure prominently in our presidential elections. So why did Donald Trump win the election? Well, here is the explanation for why Donald Trump won the election without any subjective judgments about fake news or Democrats or Republicans or any other nonsense. Trump managed to eke out an electoral victory because he won close races in Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, and Wisconsin, and he won a sizable victory in Ohio when it comes to the votes. It was pretty, I don't remember the exact count, but it was more than some of these other states. So he had thin marginal wins in key electoral states, and he managed to win the presidential election electorally, despite the fact that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. This has happened before. It will happen again in our history because this is the way it works. So then we have a new storyline. We have such a candidate as Trump could not possibly have won without fake news about Hillary Clinton being distributed on social media. Therefore, if I am a Clinton supporter, if I am a Democrat in general, then something has to be done about this quote-unquote fake news. Okay? And before I move on, I'm just going to say that there's a couple things to think about. First of all, Hillary Clinton for years has been a proponent of getting rid of the Electoral College. Now, my personal view on this is it obviates the provisions regarding the state's roles in elections. So, no, we're not going to get rid of the Electoral College. But now, suddenly, she and her supporters are pressuring electors in various states to change their votes, which, depending on the state, is against state election law. I don't need to go into that, but I will tell you that it all adds up to suddenly the Electoral College is her best friend. And if you're a Democrat, it's your last chance to stop a person like Trump from being the president. I really don't care who the president is, because I don't, as I've said personally, I think we're all going to end up in the same place anyway, regardless of whether it's statist Trump or statist Clinton, but that's another podcast. So finally, what they have fallen on in the last few weeks is this fake news meme, and the truth is, we simply don't know, and we will never know, if anyone believed and voted for anyone based on any of the fake news stories. A good example is Pizzagate, which purported to allege that there was a child sex ring being run by the Clintons out of a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C. You know, fake news is the problem, and something needs to be done. First of all, review the First Amendment. I will just simply paraphrase it by saying Congress is not allowed to make any laws regarding the right of the people to assemble, to speak, to read, or to practice religion. And you can read the actual amendment to see what it says, but it's a pretty strong statement, and that's why it is the first. You have the right to those things as a human being in the United States of America. Well, what happens when pressure groups attack big companies like Google and Facebook and demand that they do something about fake news? The hell with the First Amendment, because this is a problem and it needs to be fixed because our person didn't win. And what's fake news? It's content I do not agree with and I want it stopped. Right? Well, you get things happening. And the most recent thing is Mark Zuckerberg, who heads Facebook, suggested the following, according to Fortune magazine. Here, I'm going to have to read because I don't want to miss anything, because this is, there are three stories about this that have got people into a frenzy in certain areas of the internet. And I want to talk about what these stories actually mean. So, recently, Zuckerberg introduced new initiatives to crack down on fake or misleading news due to intensive criticism from left-leaning critics who say, without any kind of proof, I added that, that false or misleading news spread on the internet influenced the election. Zuckerberg, despite previously rejecting such arguments, wrote in a new statement that, quote, we take misinformation seriously. He says Facebook will develop stronger detection through technical systems, that is, artificial intelligence and machine learning programs, algorithms, in other words, that can rank sources by trustworthiness, that could look something like a metric being developed by the university-based Trust Project, which would rate outlets according to their consistency and reputation, reporters, expertise, and diversity of perspectives. Same article, continuing. Facebook will also look to third parties to help with verifying sources. Zuckerberg cites respected fact-checking organizations, saying the company is already in discussions with some and hopes to work with many. Sites such as PolitiFact.com and FactCheck.org may become sources for warning labels attached to the stories that have been deemed untrustworthy. Because as you know, warning labels attached to cigarettes, warning labels attached to butter, warning labels attached to lard, and God knows what else that's supposedly bad for you, has stopped people from using those products. Right? Zuckerberg also says that Facebook will work to make it easier. That was my little in the middle there. That was mine. Zuckerberg, now continuing with the story, Zuckerberg says Facebook will work to make it easier for users to report fake news. That feature has been available for years, but flagging content as fake currently requires digging through three layers of menus. I'm holding my fire here. Finally, Zuckerberg reiterated Facebook's new policy of banning purveyors of misinformation from advertising on the site. That's a small step toward the bigger goal of, in Zuckerberg's words, disrupting fake news economy, which is that many of the fake news purveyors that have gone viral on the platform during the election were produced by financially motivated publishers. And this is my favorite line from the whole story, because this is pure comedy, including a cadre of Macedonian teenagers recently profiled by BuzzFeed. So the idea that a group of Macedonian teenagers would influence the presidential election is laughable to begin with. But aside from the fact that you can already simply stop following something that you don't like or block something that you don't like on, you know, you block the person that's basically posting that's coming up in your feed. Aside from all of that, somehow you've got to have labels and you've got to bring in factcheck.org. All these sites have their own kind of bias problems. All of this, you know, infrastructure and mechanism to somehow save you from yourself. So that's the first story, and that's chilling. If you're a content provider, that's potentially chilling because you have to figure out what the algorithm is and defeat it. Basically, that's what it is. I don't want to have my podcast. It's flagged because somebody doesn't like what I said. Now, a second story making the rounds, at least in the alt-right community, and getting all kinds of comments like we told you this would happen, involves supposed existential threats the alt-right community is supposed to be worried about. Now, libertarians would tell you that statist Democrats and statist Republicans both will do whatever they can to count anything as an existential threat, including terrorists, to try to prevent your rights to free speech, because that's what statists do, but that's another story. The second story, making the rounds, has its own clickbait headline, and that headline reads, "Web giants to concentrate on the removal of extreme content." This story details the announcement that a few of the major internet companies, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Microsoft, will use hashes to automatically assign what it will do is it'll automatically assign a hash, I assume a hashtag, to videos and content they have removed from their sites to enable their peers to identify the same content on their platforms. Now, the statements in the Reuters story, which I will also post a link to on my website at thebobdavispodcast.com, suggest this is simply a continuation of long-term terms of service policies, which are designed to filter out porn and child abuse content and highly violent content. And I don't have time to talk in detail about all this, but suffice it to say that Google in particular, but also Facebook and Twitter, have been attaching flags and suppressing content that's potentially offensive for years. Instagram has been suppressing hashtags like Easter because porn merchants use these hashtags to hide their dirty pictures so people can see them and get them through Instagram. So they suppress a whole, there's a whole list of Instagram tags which are suppressed, which are actually kind of funny that they've been using. They're relatively benign tags that people use to hide things. So what the company has done is they've proceeded to say, well, look, these are violations of our service agreements. So we're gonna eliminate these hashtags. And my understanding is, I don't use them that much, but I understand that if you type in hashtag Easter, it won't simply automatically fill in. You have to type in the whole thing in order to find it. It's still there. So I don't know what to think of all this. Basically, all these sites have policed content that they consider to be capable of either being offensive or creating something they call a poisoned atmosphere on their platforms. There's two key things here. Number one, their platforms, because they're private companies offering a private service that you're contracting for in some way, shape, or form. And poisoned is my word, because when you get too many trolls, it poisons the whole discussion. Now, there's a pretty strong movement in the foreign policy security. This is the third story. Well, actually, this is tied into that story. Sorry. There's a pretty strong movement in the foreign policy security and defense community to go after ISIS websites, which purport to radicalize and violently people who are Islamic, to go into clubs and shoot people and stab people and kill people. So what's happened is that these three stories have been conflated enough on the internet, specifically with blogs and YouTube videos, to create the impression that the internet is suddenly being censored, starting with all these Nazis in the alt-right community. In other words, that's what everyone thinks the alt-right community is. They're all Nazis, right? And I'm not sure that's what they mean. I'm not sure that's what is being done, but that is the impression that has left. But it all raises this important question, especially if you're a content creator, which I am. Well, the theme seems to be the fire and the pot-bellied stove and coldness outside and warmth. And what I do for exercise is something that's great when it's cold outside, and this is hot yoga. Yoga in crowded rooms of over 100 degrees, high humidity, a lot of people in there, a lot of sweating. And you can get dehydrated, especially in the winter, because it is dry, even if you drink a lot of water. And when you get dehydrated, you have other symptoms like soreness and so forth. And I used to think that that went with the territory in practicing yoga. And then I found Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. I've talked about it a bunch. It has transformed my yoga practice. It doesn't matter what you do, even walking or hunting, even older people who, struggle with exercise and just kind of walk around, or if you sip this during the day, you're going to find that you're going to feel a lot better. So it's cycling or CrossFit or lifting or competitive sports or just doing what you do, Hydrus makes a huge difference. Hydrus is a new high-performance beverage that uses this thing called exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness. And the thing is, there's no sugar in it, so that makes a huge difference. You can get it in orange or lemon lime. They've really improved the lemon lime flavor, which is huge. Hydrus helps me take it to the edge. It will help you take it to the edge. That is what it's all about, because that's where you grow. That's where you reach deeper into your practice, whatever it is, so that you can actually gain from it. And I'm actually doing yoga, which before I used to struggle with. So it's really cool. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's Hydrus Performance, HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. You can buy it right there on the site. All kinds of information about Hydrus and how it works and who's using it. HydrusPerformance.com. First of all, if you have a lease, you have a terms of service agreement. And if you have anything on the internet, I don't care what it is, you've agreed to terms of service. So they can take away your service if you do something they don't like. We all know that. And they have the right to do that because they are private companies and we are contracting with them to use their service. Now, I just want to say this. I confess that I regularly filter out people I don't like or who post comments I don't like for whatever reasons. And usually it's because they're silly, stupid, or they're grossly rude, or they're trolls. I don't like trolls, and I will filter those people out. I also, for my own reasons, will not let fans post content on my page. I will not let them tag me. I will not let them sign me up for other pages. And why is that? It's because I want to control my content and I want to create my own content, not you. If you have a picture of, a roundabout or a meme about Obama that you want to post, you can post it on your page. I won't let you post it on mine. And if somehow one gets through, I take it down. Now, I support your right to put whatever you want on your Facebook page. But I put what I want on mine and I control it like a dictator. And I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You have no right to free speech on my website. I have the right to free speech to put up my website, but you don't have the right to do anything. And I do it to avoid trolls and attacks. And I also do it because I want to control the content. It's really an innocent thing. I don't want you to put content up there. My page is for you to look at my content. But as a content creator, I support your right to post whatever you want on your website and Facebook page, as I said. And as an advocate of your rights as a human being, I also support you being able to say what you want, post what you want, do what you want, wherever you want. And I don't have to look at it. I also support the right that I have to hide your feed and to unfriend you or whatever it is that I do to prevent you from seeing what I'm doing. Now, the questions that are coming up between the violent stuff that the terrorists are supposedly posting and the child porn, death porn, porn in general is kind of like yelling fire in a crowded theater, which is illegal anyway, right? Hate speech is the new yelling fire. What are you going to do? You know, free speech is fine, but you got to have reasonable limits. I understand that, but I'm not sure that pointing to terrorists and saying we have to have controls over this because I don't want them to say to my content, this is violent or this is terrorism or I don't like this, so I'm going to take it down, right? And I don't mean me doing it on my page. I mean Google or Facebook doing it because they have this new policy that says we're going to decide what we don't like. Now, when a government starts controlling speech, basically, you're on a slippery slope. When a company does it based on their agreement of service, well, it's a different question, isn't it? Because they get to do that. When a company does it based on the pressure of a community, a political community, one political community, I think they're just cowards. I think Zuckerberg is a coward. When they do it based on requests from the government of countries that don't have guarantees to free speech, like China, well, they can do whatever they want. And if China approaches Facebook and says, we want you to do this, we don't have any rights to free speech here, well, then I don't blame Facebook for that. But when they do it in the United States, which constitutionally guarantees free speech, then I have a problem with it. The real problem here is we aren't able to ascertain or certain groups are not able to ascertain, or groups don't think that we have the ability to ascertain what kinds of things are real, fake, or hate speech. That becomes a matter of opinion, usually. And that is the slippery slope that I call internet censorship, and we don't want censorship. And what are we talking about? We're talking about silly things posted that have no basis in fact at all. The thing is, if you post a story like that, then you're just propagating the very thing that you're decrying on the left, let's say, whether you're on the left or right. So either side is censoring what the other side is saying because they just don't like what is being said. Now, there's a couple of solutions aside from screaming that they're controlling the internet. First of all, there are things called virtual private networks, which can be encrypted, and they also can defeat the kinds of censorship we're talking about. So you can post all the dirty pictures of women's breasts that you want on your VPN, and your friends can see it. Second, if you have your own website, it makes it a little more difficult for them to take you down. They can certainly filter you out, but if you're a podcaster on blogtalkradio.com only, and they decide that they don't like you, they can drop you, right? And if you're silly enough to put your podcast up there and that's the only place that you're distributing your podcast, and they decide for some reason, because someone pressures them, that they don't like you, you're out of business. But if you host your own podcast on your own website, well, no, you're not, because you can just continue to do what you're doing. People just come to your website to hear what you're doing, right? So the other thing is, if these companies start slipping down this slope and censoring Breitbart or Huffington Post or individuals, what they're doing is they're opening themselves up to class action lawsuits based on the First Amendment in the United States to force them to stop filtering content regardless of the agreement of service that we all click I agree to, even when we don't. And then finally, the market would perhaps adversely affect sites like Twitter. Twitter already sucks, by the way. If Twitter wants to ruin the experience because certain people can't handle anything that they disagree with, then Twitter is going to end up being toast, and someone else, whether it's Snapchat or some new company, is going to come along to do what they do in a different way. Same thing is also true with Facebook and Google, and people say, well, that's just ridiculous. How could that ever happen? Well, there used to be a car called the Packard, and it was a great car, and it went away, and I don't know why. And there used to be a company called American Motors that made great cars, and it went away. So just because someone is an ascendant right now, like Apple or Facebook, or whoever, it doesn't mean that they'll always be that way. And if you don't provide a great experience for your users, well, they'll find a great experience somewhere else. Google has been filtering for years, by the way, because they want to make sure that people are able to search and find the things that they're looking for. So Google uses algorithms to make sure that certain things work certain ways. And all of us are using SEO and digital marketing tools to make sure that we defeat the Google algorithms. And I could go do a whole podcast about that. I'm not going to, because then you would know all my secrets. But basically, just because the algorithms exist doesn't mean that they're going to work. So finally, if they start filtering out content in the United States like they do in China, which has no free speech constitutional right, well, then people are going to start using competitor search engines. They're going to start using competitor Facebook pages. And if it becomes a law, then it's going to be something that's fought as a constitutional challenge. And if they all start filtering and we start using VPNs as potential competitors, then that's another thing entirely. And then you have lawsuits, and then you finally have making it a political issue where you say, you know, how dare they limit my free speech, and we need to fix this. And it doesn't make it any easier for content providers, because you got to have this fight. And how do you have a free speech fight if there's no free speech? But the fact that people are talking about this, and by the way, we should continue talking about it, makes it important. I think it's terrible that the discussion we're having is the grievance of the left, which lost the electoral vote, aside from decrying the Electoral College before the election. Now suddenly it's their best friend. Is saying we have to stop fake news because that's what caused her to lose. They have no idea what caused her to lose. I mean, I can tell you right now what happened to Hillary Clinton is her voters didn't show up. That's why she lost in those key states. They showed up in California in droves, but they didn't show up in large enough numbers in Ohio and so forth to defeat Donald Trump, and he won the election fair and square on an electoral basis. Unless somebody proves that some subterfuge was the reason that he won, you know, he's going to be inaugurated. He's going to be certified and inaugurated as president. But I would also say that I think content providers need to follow some standards too. Posting a video that says Hillary Clinton is dying and this one weird fact proves it is dangerously close to slander. Posting a video that says a public personality is a pedophile and using news stories from the same media a content provider abhors is both hypocritical and it is also slander. Because when they tell you, as far as libel and slander concerned, truth is the best defense. So if you're going to say someone is a pedophile, you'd better have proof of that, and it better not be a news story. It has to be proof that can stand up in court, because people can get sued. Remember, Carol Burnett defeated the National Enquirer. We saw with the Gawker case that public personalities do not have to put up with websites, and that includes politicians violating their privacy or slandering them. If they sue in and win, they can put you out of business. They can close down your YouTube channel or literally run you out of business because you were stupid enough to slander or libel someone. So look up the rules regarding slander or libel and find out what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And then there's this whole question, which is whether or not people are dumb enough to believe this stuff and act on it. You know, I watch these videos because they're funny. Just because people are watching them doesn't mean they believe them. And if they're stupid enough to believe these kinds of stories, maybe they ought to ask themselves why they deserve to be free. On the other hand, you know, freedom means you get to be free. And if you're stupid, you are free to be as stupid as you want. Political challenges, policy challenges, and so forth are seldom boiled down to a meme. Even if they're simple, they still require a lot of thought to create the simplicity out of a complex issue. On the other hand, who says they believe this stuff? As I just said, you know, just because you watch something doesn't mean that you believe that Hillary Clinton is a reptilian alien or that the earth is hollow and there's aliens. There are, but that's another story. Remember when, first-person shooter games were the reason that everyone was being killed in these mass shootings that seem to, you know, have only just started happening, even though they've been happening for years? It was the first-person shooter games. And suddenly we don't talk about that anymore because now we talk about guns. It's the gun that causes the problem. Remember when artists like Dee Snider and Frank Zappa heroically resisted people, of all people, like Tipper Gore? That is right. Democrat Vice President Al Gore's wife 30 years ago, 25 years ago, wanted to slap labels and censor rock and roll because it was sexist and it was violent and all these orders because kids were killing themselves and everyone claimed it was because of certain rock and roll songs. Or remember when Florida went after Live Crew because they claimed it was pornography? All I remember is the album cover, which was a very healthy rear end of a young woman, all sweaty, and that was all I remember about that. And I think they won that fight. So I bring that stuff up because there are always challenges to free speech. And this is just another in a long line of challenges and unreasonable and unfounded challenges to free speech, which when it finally shakes out, do not carry the day because we have a constitutional protection regarding free speech. Yes, it should be a political issue because I don't think the internet should be controlled. And yes, it should be a political issue because I don't think that content providers should have to go through a situation where they're raided by some algorithm, which is going to be defeated anyway. But it's also not anything that's necessarily new. What's new are the tools that they use to suppress this stuff. And if you don't use a certain tool, then you're not aware of how it works. Or if you don't have anything to do with that stuff, you don't know how it works. Or if you're just learning how it works, you're not sure how it works, like hashtags and things like that. It's just new tools for suppression. This is a free country. We have the right to speak, and we have the right to put up a fake news story if we want. And they have the right to complain about it. But I think we need to be very careful about saying that we're going to allow certain kinds of content and not allow certain kinds of content on websites. And by the way, I'm just going to say this one more time. If Facebook persists in doing this, then someone eventually is going to sue them for violating their free speech rights, and they're going to lose because essentially that's what they're doing, even if they have a terms of agreement, type of thing. Even if all the members of the club agree that no black people or Jews or women can come to the club, eventually someone's going to walk through the front door and say, I'm here. What are you going to do about it? And the fact is that you can't keep them out because that's illegal. It's a violation of their civil rights. And that's one of the things that happens. So Facebook can have a club and prevent people from doing whatever they want. But eventually somebody's going to challenge it, or a competitor to Facebook will come along and they will disappear from the landscape. Remember, I can't say enough about Hydrus, especially when it's cold outside and I get to go into hot rooms and do yoga. Hydrus makes a huge difference in keeping me hydrated. Hydrus is a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to get electrolytes into your muscles really fast. You can drink a ton of water, but you might not get hydrated until, 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes even into your practice, and it makes a huge difference. Hydrus helps me take it to the edge. Check them out online at hydrusperformance.com. And don't forget, XGovernmentCars.com. This is the time of the year when you want an SUV, but you want one that's affordable. And of course, the end of year SUV sale is on now at XGovernmentCars.com. $500 off of any four-wheel drive SUV. And you can check them out online now at XGovernmentCars.com, or just head down there. Get your butt down to XGovernmentCars.com in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North.
XGovernmentCars.com.
Pilots, if you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. What does it do? It saves lives. Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. It's nothing more than a visual indicator of the amount of lift your wing is producing, which really makes a big difference when you're turning on final to land. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks to you, and thanks to you for donating for Mobile Podcast Command, a Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance that came from XGovernmentCars.com. I love it. Considering a couple of different trips, and I will tell you, if we have an electoral crisis, I am heading to Washington, so stay tuned for info on that. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. And I really appreciate the likes and the shares and favoriting on and following and so forth on Facebook and Twitter, even though I decry Facebook and Twitter. I use it as a content provider, and of course, Facebook as well. Also appreciate, as I said, the donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Just look for the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. You'll see Mobile Podcast Command. Click on that, takes you to PayPal, and you're on your way. And I appreciate whatever you want to donate. Thanks for listening to the podcast. 579. The Bob Davis Podcast Censorship.